But Jesus said there is no greater virtue than
We hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. Good morning. On behalf of Superintendent Maurice Johnson and First Lady Judy Johnson, we would like to welcome you again to the Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ Saturday morning broadcast on KAYT. Our church is located at 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Sunday morning worship is at 11:30 a.m. Sunday YPWW is on Zoom at 6 o'clock p.m. Tuesday night Bible study and Friday joy night are on Zoom at 7 o'clock p.m. Morning prayer is Monday through Saturday on the Johnson Temple prayer line at 9:30 a.m. As a community announcement, the Johnson Temple Feeding the Hungry program is open every second and fourth Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. In addition to providing a hot meal, perishable and non-perishable food items are available for individuals in need. The public is invited and volunteers are welcome. For more information, please call the church at 337-239-3845. In today's broadcast, you will hear a sermon entitled, You Can't Function Without the Unction, preached at Johnson Temple on Pentecost Sunday by Pastor Elder Paul Weeks, pastor of Bethesda Ministries in Leesville, Louisiana. If you would like more information about Johnson Temple, please call the church at 337-239-3845. Again, that number is 337-239-3845. You can also visit or follow us on Facebook. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
I just want to talk to you for a few minutes from a thought that the Lord put in my spirit for today. And if I don't holler at you, don't look over me. But I want you to leave here with a word from the Lord. God told me to tell you, you can't function without the unction. You can't function without the unction. As we commemorate Pentecost today, we must first look back on at how God set the stage for what was going to happen. In his plan to reconnect fallen man to a living Savior and restore the image of and his likeness that God gave man at creation and restore it all back to him. See, the image was marred when Adam sinned in the garden. He had an image. You remember the Bible says he created man in his own image, in the likeness, oh my God, created he him, male and female created he them. Well, when Adam sinned, it broke the image of God from man, because God can't sin, but man did. Just work with me for just a minute. I'm gonna bring this thing to light. Just a minute. See, in Leviticus 23, we see a Jewish calendar of the feasts and the events which is an outline of the work of Christ. It first announces the Passover, which we know according to the word of God that Jesus is the Passover lamb of the New Testament church, according to John 1:29, that says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Think about it. The ground was set all the way back in the law that God gave Moses in Leviticus. Oh my God. See, and in 1 Corinthians 5:7, the word says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. This is a clear picture of Jesus' death as the Lamb of God. Secondly, the Jewish calendar in Leviticus 23 gives instructions of the feast of the first fruit. This is a picture of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, verified in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23, where it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made, oh my God, shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. In other words, Christ became the first fruit. So therefore, God had to put this in the spirit of his people, even in the Old Testament era, so they can prepare the ground for Christ to come to be the, oh my, if you don't acknowledge the first fruit in the natural, how can you acknowledge the first fruit in the spiritual? Woo! Thirdly, the Jewish calendar in Leviticus 23 speaks of Pentecost. Pentecost is a picture of the formation of the New Testament church. If you look, and we'll deal with it here in just a minute, into the book of Acts, and when the Holy Ghost fell, and while they were in the upper room and the 120 people in place, it was the establishment, the start of the establishment of the New Testament church. As we look at the word Pentecost, it's a word derived from the Greek meaning 50. 50 days after the Passover, and it celebrates the grain harvest. After the grain harvest, after they pull the first fruits, and on the day of Passover, the feast of Passover, they will bring, the priest will bring the sheaves in and wave them before the Lord, because this was the first fruit that they pulled out of the field to represent what God had done for them. But also, not realizing, what you need to understand is this: when he raised the first fruit before God, he was also letting them know, not only is the first fruit yours, but the whole crop belongs to you, because you are the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah to your name. Yeah, but it really became noticed and celebrated and renowned after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the Passover or when the power of the Holy Ghost was given in Jerusalem. See, in our text, we find before Jesus ascended to heaven, he commanded his disciples to go and tarry. In other words, stay there. You know, see, we didn't understand in the old church when the saints used to tell us, old mothers and the saints used to tell us to come around the altar and tarry. I know I'm finna mess up here. I know in the old church, they thought tarry mean get on your knees and say thank you, Jesus, till you start frothing at the mouth. But tarry only means stay there. He said, go into Jerusalem and tarry. Stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. See, too many times we get, oh my God, we get off the potter's wheel before the potter gets finished with us. That's why sometimes we don't have no power, oh my God, to flick a gnat off of our eye, because we get up. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Because we get off the potter's wheel too quick. Jesus knew the time was coming and was nigh that they being his disciples would suffer many things because of his name's sake. And to go out to establish the New Testament church, they needed the power of the Holy Ghost. He knew that they could not function without the unction. How can you go out and establish the word of God and establish a ministry for God if you don't have the indwelling power of the Lord? How can you represent God with something you don't have? How many times do the judge or do the lawyer call you to court if you have never been a witness? And if you get up there on the stand and talking about he said, she said, they will excuse you because you wasn't part of the situation that they're in the case about. So if you are going to be a witness for the spirit and the power of God, you have to be a witness through that, oh my God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, see, we have gotten scared of the word Holy Ghost. We want to be able to, I'm trying to try not to push this thing, but I feel, thank you, Dad, I thank you so much because I feel God moving now. See, we need to understand that we have to walk in the spirit of God and represent him in everything we do. We can't be a devil all throughout the week and expect to be a saint in the house of the Lord. That's why we don't see the Holy Ghost moving like it used to, because we have gotten pretty and don't, oh my God, and don't think it take all of that anymore. Ah, you know, holy rollers, they used to fall out over the floor and they used to, you know, roll around the floor until their hair got nappy and wrapped all around their head, and the old saints was all over them. It don't take all of that. We have to be subdued in who we are. Baby, let me tell you something. In the day and hour that we live in, it take all of that and more. That's the problem with the church today, that we're not walking in the spirit of God and allow him to take full control over our spirit man. Ooh, let me move and leave you alone here. See, Jesus, as he did after his resurrection, to take away their fear and to give them peace, as recorded in John chapter 19, he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This was to sustain them until they meet him in Jerusalem, that they may be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why is that so important? See, Jesus know, the Holy Ghost can't really come until I go. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to breathe, oh my God, I'm going to breathe on you, and oh my God, and see, the breath of the Lord is in the, oh my God, the spirit of the Lord is in the breath that I breathe upon you to sustain you until I meet you in Jerusalem. I'm going to, right now, I want to breathe so the Holy Ghost can come upon you. I'm going somewhere with that. We must note that the Holy Ghost didn't just come on the scene in Acts on the day of Pentecost. He was always present and prevalent from the beginning of time. In the Old Testament scriptures, all throughout the scriptures, you find the Holy Ghost was present and prevalent. Even during creation, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make, he was at the beginning in creation, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. So therefore, the Holy Ghost was there from the beginning, and he's going to be there from to the end. And we got to understand, it just didn't happen on Pentecost, but we in the book of Judges, the Holy Ghost came upon Gideon when he blew the trumpet of the Lord, and in the book of 1 Samuel, when the Spirit of God came upon David after Samuel anointed him with oil as king, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was never the same from that day forward. How many know when you feel the power of God coming upon you, and when you allow the Spirit of God to take control of your life, you will never be the, oh my God, you will never be the same. The old things you used to do, you don't have desire to do anymore. God has set you free, and oh my God, and he have established your going, so therefore you will never be the same. See, But we must also understand that it was not God's desire just for his spirit to come upon man. Mm-hmm. But his desire was for his spirit to dwell in the hearts of man. See, that's why so many people today, they may have a shout, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. I recall even King Saul when after he was anointed king and the prophets came around him, the Bible said he started prophesying, but King Saul didn't have the Holy Ghost simply because he was in presence of the Lord and in the presence of other prophets and in the presence of the Spirit of God. The Spirit came up on him, but it didn't come in him. And because it didn't come in him, that's why King Saul couldn't do the things that God had called him to do as king. He sent up strange fire because the priest didn't get there quick enough. So he sent up strange fire. He even after he was rejected by God, he went to the witch of Endor to call up Samuel's spirit. And see, we got to understand, God allowed Samuel's spirit to come from the grave. It wasn't the witch that done it. I'm finna make it plain. Why you say that? Because it was Samuel who anointed Saul king. Samuel had to tell him he was rejected because he wouldn't believe nobody else. Let me share something with you. The power of God and the Spirit of God is more powerful than any witchcraft spirit. Oh, you better know that the power of God can overcome anything a witch try to put up on you. You better look that witch in the eye and tell that witch, Satan the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. I bind you by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. Get thee behind me. You have no power over me. Oh, my God. Y'all leave me alone for just a minute. Ooh. Yeah. Oh my God. And when Jesus came on the scene, he warned his disciples that he would not be with them always, but he would pray the Father that he would send a comforter, which was the Holy Ghost, that he may abide, not come upon them, but he may abide with them forever and teach them all things. He knew they couldn't function without the unction. Jesus said in John 16:7, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Why? Because you can't function without the unction. And if you go build my New Testament church, I got to offer to help somebody here. If you're going to build my New Testament church, I got to get the devil out of you. See, the Bible says even all the 12 that was with Jesus wasn't real. The Bible says even one of them was the devil. What are you saying? Y'all better watch it, because if you ain't careful, the devil gonna beat you to church. He tried to hang around Jesus. So if he tried to hang around Jesus, what make you think he ain't gonna try to hang around you? Let me move. Jesus knew that his disciples were a snapshot of the New Testament church. But to establish the church, they couldn't function without the unction of the Holy Ghost. How can we function in the place of something where we're not a part of? He knew that was a mixed bag of issues in his disciples. Even though they followed him for 3.5 years, he knew they still didn't have it all together. Even the disciples that walked with Jesus, they had issues. He had one disciple that was Matthew. He was a tax collector. He had Judas. The Bible says he was a thief. That was his profession, evidently. He was a professional thief, because even during the time that he was walking with Jesus, if you go search the Bible, it says that he had his hand in the bag. What that means is the whole time he was walking around with Jesus, he was stealing money out of their treasure. Professional thief. Mm-hmm. He had Simon, they called Simon the Zealot, because he worked so hard to overthrow the Roman government. Then you have Luke, he was a physician, and then you have the others who were fishermen. See, this signifies to us today that the church will not be off, and they help you, and then I'm going to get out of your way. The church will not be automatically filled with halo-wearing, Bible-packing, tongue-talking saints. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, lives will be changed. And see, this represents the fruit of repentance. When you see the lives of the people of God change, you will see the fruit of repentance in their life, because they don't even look like they used to look. They don't talk like they used to talk. They don't say the words they used to say. Now they're speaking the words of holiness. They preaching the praise of the Lord. They singing gospel music and worship songs unto the Lord. And see, there were two main purposes for all of this to take place. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost would dwell in people, in the people of God, and not just come upon them. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. And number two, the presence of the Lord would be permanent and not temporary. It was God's desire that we would allow him to take residence in our life, and we became the temple of the Holy God, a Holy Ghost. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, because God wants to dwell inside of you, not just a temporary display of his glory. He wants you to represent him in everything we do. We must remember that God's desire that we are filled with the Holy Ghost, and that we can be true witnesses to his power. We can't function without the unction of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. See, everything we have faced in the past few years, showing the signs of the times, from COVID, to the storms that we face, to the untimely deaths that we face, to the unusual ice storms, to the snowstorms, to the violent floods and the tornadoes and the senseless acts of violence, to the deaths of innocent people, to the hate crimes of various races and nationalities, and the fact that the world has turned into a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah to your name. Immorality and perversion has found its way across the land. And yes, it has found its way even into the church. I heard just a couple of weeks ago, I ain't gonna name the name of the church, because I don't want nobody to think I'm fighting somebody's denomination. But I heard a report on the news that they said there was a certain church that says, now we're gonna change our rules, and we're gonna allow gay and homosexual marriages. And we're gonna allow them to become part of the church. Something is wrong. Oh, Zion, what's the matter now? We don't sing like we used to. We don't pray like we used to pray. We don't talk like we used to talk. We don't worship the Lord like we used to worship the Lord. What's the matter now? Somebody give God some praise. See, ungodliness, unholiness, and unnatural relationships are being accepted in society. And yes, they're being accepted in the church. I'm not here to bash nobody, but I got to give you the truth according to the word of God. God says it's an abomination for man to lay with man and woman to lay with woman. I'm not going to go against the word to suit nobody else, because the word is right and the whole world is wrong. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I recall, oh God, Abraham, God vowed to Abraham before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, God, if you find any righteous, will you not destroy the city? It got all the way down till he said, if you find so much as 10 righteous, I won't destroy the city. But the shameful thing is, they couldn't find 10 righteous. God told Abraham, after those men surrounded the house and said, no, we don't want your virgin daughter. We want those men that came into your house. God told Abraham and sent the angels of God to grab the hand of Lot and bring him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because destruction was coming. You don't have time to wait. Stop waiting around to see what everybody else gonna do. God says it's time to move. It's time to get to higher ground, because there's a storm coming. And when this storm arrives, you better look out, because it's gonna overtake everything that's not like God. Somebody give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 See, God says too many times we live like the devil all week. And then we try to make a sacrifice to him just on Sunday. He said that sacrifice stinks in his nostrils. He's tired of contaminated praise. He's tired of us offering lip service and their hearts are far from him. God told me to remind the people that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What are you saying, Weeks? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. What that means is, pastor might not see you, but God see you. Pastor might not hear what you're saying, but God hear every word that's being uttered out of your mouth. Pastor might not see you wink that eye, but God saw the devil get in your eye. Pastors might not hear the backbiting and talking against, but God says, I've heard every word and I've marked it down, because you're going to give an account for every word that you have spoken. We can't bask in the boastfulness in our sin with our friends Monday through Saturday and flip a switch and come humbly before the throne on Sunday, carrying the residue of sin in the presence of God. It's time to go back to what the old saints used to say. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for mother and father. It was good for grandmama and granddad. We need to seek God for that old time religion, because they believed in going back to the old landmark where we used to bow before the Lord and pray until something happened. And when we act like we got something, the old saints used to look at us and say, get up, baby, and come back tomorrow, because you didn't get it yet. They were able to see the power of God when it come down upon the people of God. That's what's missing in the church today. Because we have lost our fellowship with God. I recall the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place, all with one accord. And suddenly there came A sound of as a rushing mighty wind. The wind didn't come, but they heard a sound. Every now and then, God got to send a sound in the church. He's got to send a sound in the community. He's got to send a storm. He's got to send a tornado. He's got to send a sickness. He's got to send a hurricane. He's not in the sickness. He's not in the storm. He's not in the hurricane. But he is getting our attention so he can speak to us with a still small voice, like he did the prophet Elijah when he was running away from Jezebel. He went into the cleft of the rock. The wind of the Lord came back to the degree that it busted up the rocks. It broke down the mountain. But the word of God says he wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the storm. But then a still small voice spoke to him and asked him, what are you doing?